Job's so-called alleged friends. They came, if you will remember, to bring comfort to him, to sit with him and his wife, to try to show their sympathy, to try to share their condolences as they sat there in the garbage dump outside the city where Job is ostracized because of all of the boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, writhing in incredible, incredible pain. For 7 days, you know, seven is the biblical number of completeness. So on the seventh day, God rested. We looked at Jericho. It was on the seventh day, the seventh walk around on the seventh day, that the mission, the miracle was completed and the walls came tumbling down. When I think of grace, God's incredible grace, what Job's friends should have known, what Job's friends should have done was to show grace. Grace for the moment. I mentioned Annie Johnson Flint last week, the lady who had the crippling arthritis and for 37 years of her life before she died was in such excruciating pain. Day after day, day after day, night after night. If you can only imagine, for all of those years of being in incredible pain, what she did was to take a gift that God had given her in the midst of her pain. She turned it into beautiful music, hymns, poetry that God had given her. He gives more grace. One of her very last songs, "When the Burdens Grow Greater." He sendeth his strength when the labors increase. If there's any one thing this world needs to learn, it's grace. It's the grace of Almighty God. You and I could spend a lifetime, and I think there are many people in life who fail to truly understand grace. Job's friends, obviously, they came with their graceless words for a grieving heart, a grieving soul. Their words were not words of kindness. Their words were not words of grace. Their words were words of judgment and accusations. You and I live in a world tonight that's filled with judgment. It's filled with accusations. People are guilty before they're ever tried, often in the court of public debate and public sentiment. And if there's any one thing that we could learn from Job's experience that he had, it's what grace is truly all about. When I think of grace, as we sang those words a few moments ago, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. I think many people try their best to work their way to heaven. I think that many of us sometimes, we fail to truly understand what that word grace fully encompasses. God did it all. The Creator did it all. He took our sin upon himself at Calvary. He took the test that day and gave his all and shed his blood for the remission of sin. You and I, we could work until Jesus comes, but works will not save you and me. I think so oftentimes people fail to truly understand, what is grace all about? God's riches to us. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. One of the greatest things that you and I have in our lives tonight is grace. Mona sang beautifully a few moments ago those wonderful songs. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Then she went on to sing about the rock of the ages, Jesus. And then because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. It's all because of grace, God's grace. If there's one thing that I've learned from the book of Job, along with several life applications, it is when I look at the friends who came, as they sat in silence, it spoke volumes to the heart of Job. I mean, for those first 7 days, as Job is trying to, in the confusion of his mind, Job is trying to process what in creation has happened in this situation. Why can't I have an audience with God to see what on earth is going on? I've lived a life of integrity as much as I have known how. I've prayed for my children that if they have sinned, if they've done something wrong, Job said, I've covered them with prayers. Job wasn't given the audience with God that Job wanted to have. I'm sure tonight all over the world, if people were given an audience with the Almighty, I'm confident of the fact there would be all kinds of questions that we would ask him tonight, because we still live in a fleshly, sinful body. Redeemed our soul, yes, but our body has not had its resurrection yet. And when I think of grace, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I really oftentimes feel that people will say, I have people say to me all the time, in fact, someone mentioned to me this past week, if I get to heaven, someone said that to me this past week, and my first thoughts were, there's no question I'm going to heaven. I received my ticket a long time ago on March the 24th, 1963. The great conductor of the universe, the great creator, came to this earth and paid the price for my sins. He took the test and gave me an A. And I stand in his righteousness and his righteousness alone. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There are lots of churches today that no longer preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear about a bloody religion. But I want you to know, Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Grace. You and I could work and work, and we used to sing, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Y'all remember that old song? I still love those old songs, don't you? I still love that. Scattering precious seed by the wayside. All of those were in that great, wonderful old hymn book called the Broadman Hymnal. I still love that hymnal. If I should die and have a tombstone, which I don't plan on having one, it would be the Broadman Hymnal. Because I believe the truths of the wonderful theology that are embedded in those sayings, those songs, as Mona sang that a few moments ago. Those have been always the theme of my life and the theme of my song, because I think about God's incredible grace. Job's friends came. They came, they thought, they perceived in their own hearts that they were coming with the right motive, the right motivation. They were going to come and sit a while with him. They sat there in the ashes. They grieved. But when the 7 days of that cycle of mourning was completed, all their guns and knives came out, and they began to whittle away at the grief of Job. You see, what Job needed was grace. He needed for them to come in and to hug him and hush. But instead, they took it upon themselves to assume that because Job was going through so many incredible trials in his life, that they assumed it was because of iniquity, sin in Job's heart and in their life. They prejudged based upon their own secular worldview of looking at Job. When I mentioned this morning that George Barna did that study that only 6% of Americans, that would mean 94% of some 325 to 350 million different data gives you different statistical studies, but somewhere in America, there's some 325 plus million people in America. If you took 94%, can you only imagine? Even though 51% say that they have a biblical worldview, when you really got down to it, it was really only 6% of Americans that really had a worldview that believed that the Bible is true. We are living in a different time. Grace, God's wonderful gift that He bestowed on whosoever would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. So many of us, we work, but we work because it's the evidence that we have been saved. That's why we work, to produce fruit for the Lord. But we are saved by His grace. Just as this professor took the exam for all of his students that day and filled in the... I don't know why I never had a professor like that. I never had one of those that walked in and said, turn over the test, you all made an A on the final, it's been done for you. Oh, that would have been nice on some of those nights that you stayed up till 3 and 4 in the morning and crammed and went to class with the stomach ache, and then you just writhed in pain until you went and looked on the teacher's door as your final grade was written there. You know, Job's friends, their words were graceless. I think you and I need to learn a lesson from these friends tonight, that when we are talking with people that are going through struggles and trials, you take young people today, they have a different worldview than you and I have. Unfortunately, good as the internet can be as a highway of education and intellect to the future, unfortunately, it's also a highway that leads to much destruction. When I think about their lives, when a young lady comes up and she's not married and she's pregnant, the last thing she needs to hear are people being judgmental and people criticizing. What we need to do is always show the grace of Almighty God. Unfortunately, Job's friends got lost somewhere along the way. Unfortunately, Job's friends, with everything that he endured, they could not even begin to conceive. They couldn't begin to even in their minds. They could not understand that blessings upon people meant that everything was coming up roses and daffodils in their life. And Job must have, in their opinion, he must have done something incredibly wrong to have so much happen to him. 10 children gone in one day through a storm. His servants, most of them destroyed. All of his goods, his stocks, all of those things that he had, the wealth was taken and it was gone. And Job's health was gone. You and I have a hard time really identifying with somebody like Job because most of us have never been in that particular situation. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. The one thing that I want to leave you with tonight, and we'll pick up here 2 weeks from tonight, but I want to leave you with this: grace. I hope this week you will think about grace. What does grace mean in your heart and life? Grace means for me that I have the peace, the confidence, the assurance in what Jesus did at Calvary when he spilled his blood and said, "Whosoever will." I'm thankful that on a Sunday night, sitting in a little country church on the left side of the sanctuary, middle aisle, about where Julia's setting the seat up, Sam Scantlin, who was in the Baptist building at that time, very well known all over the state of Oklahoma. Sam Scantlin was preaching in the absence of my pastor that night. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit of the living God moved within my heart and brought me as a 12-year-old child to reach out and to receive the wonderful gift of grace. Grace so amazing, as Sue plays back there so beautifully. Grace so amazing is with me each day. For his great love I could never repay. I hope this week you will think every day about what does grace mean to you? And do I show God's grace in my life to the people that I'm around, to the people that I come in contact with? Is my speech filled with grace? The Bible says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, with grace. May you and I learn from Job's friends to use grace instead of gracelessness as they used on him, as they added insult to injury, as a broken heart was broken over and over again, because of graceless words that absolutely were words that should have never been spoken to him. May you and I think about God's wonderful, wonderful gift of grace. The life application is this: Lord, teach us the value of grace. Lord, teach us the value of grace. Would you stand as we pray together tonight?